Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us today on our podcast series, Mergers in the Post-Pandemic Era. I'm Eric Winston. I'm the General Counsel and Chief Ethics and Compliance Officer at Emphasis.
Hey, and I'm Vaibhav Parikh, leader at Nishidesh Associates and co-head of M&A and Private Equity Practice.
Together, we will take you through the journey of how we, as legal practitioners from two different parts of the world and in different roles, I'm an in-house counsel and Vaibhav is outside counsel, are handling mergers and acquisitions across the world and from different vantage points.
In this series, we will go deep into how global pandemic has impacted M&As for different industries like corporation, technology industry, pharma life sciences. We'll just see how things have worked out and how we are adopting and not just responding to the respective market.
Vaibhav and I will talk to you about what's going on in the M&A world, what are some of the trends we're seeing, and how are we working through uncharted territory that has resulted from the pandemic? What's changed and why? What might be here to stay? And at the same time, we'll be joined by various other stakeholders in the M&A life cycle, not only lawyers, and we're going to talk about the M&A process, due diligence, integration, and navigating the various issues that may come up.
With this, Eric, let me ask you this question and maybe your thoughts on how do you think the M&A is there in, now that COVID is kind of coming in grasp, how does it look like? And what are the changes, what you saw, how it was before versus how it is now? Would you give some thoughts on that?
Sure. Thank you, Vaibhav. I guess before I begin, I just want to advise you that and all of our listeners that the views and opinions expressed as part of this podcast are my own and do not necessarily reflect the views of my employer, Emphasis. I think, so one, I'd say I am personally pretty optimistic about, our current M&A environment, right? Now, of course, my caveat for that is we've seen some breakthrough variants, and so we need to, of course, be cautious and continue to be vigilant. But I think as vaccination rates continue to increase, as we continue to learn more about treatment and, health measures, we'll start to more and more, I think, see COVID in the rearview mirror, right? I think Q2 of 20 obviously was, from an M&A standpoint, fairly quiet, relatively period. I think since then, we've seen, an M&A market that's been pretty frothy, right? And the numbers I've seen, particularly for 2021, I think are on sort of what I've read is record pace for M&A. And so I think we're headed for, continuation of a record pace and really what would be a lot of activity. I think the U.S. stock market itself has continued to grow. I also think about where the growth has been, particularly it's been in the technology e-commerce space, where the pandemic itself has created imperatives for digital economy and for other kinds of technologies, to aid as we've accelerated the need for various technologies as companies move to the cloud and so on. I don't know, Vaibhav, what have been your observations there?
Eric, I agree with you. Very interestingly, the way I saw when the pandemic hit, the M&As started actually stalled. Every transaction which we are doing stalled. Even midways, some of the transactions stalled. After a few months, those transactions picked up and 90% of transactions which we are doing actually got completed. So it was kind of a pause, which we saw pandemic kind of bring in, because there was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear on how this is going to pan out. But once kind of the fear was digested, uncertainty was kind of mapped out, to some extent, people started getting handle on it. I think we started seeing the M&A back. Having said it, we saw less of cross-border M&As and we saw a lot more local M&As, at least in 2020. In 2021, we have started seeing rebounding of cross-border M&A. That may be because, people were not traveling, and as a result, cross-border M&As were very difficult to be done. But we are now seeing cross-border M&As back. And I agree with you, for what we are seeing sitting even in India, for Indian market is similar. The numbers are very high. We are seeing many M&As which are happening. We are seeing many, many unicorns which are happening, and many unicorns which are emerging in India and then started doing all the acquisitions. If I look at it, I would put the M&A's categories into three buckets. First is where you have, you know, growth consolidation, which means that there are M&A's which companies are doing so that they can grow faster. Now, one thing which COVID has done has accelerated certain aspects of growth, a certain industry in terms of growth. And, you know, what earlier timeline was is now completely crunched. And as a result, a lot of companies now feel that they need to grow faster. And that's where M&As become very, very important. So that's what we are seeing. So whether it is space of ed tech, where you see, you know, companies like Byju's and others who are going on acquisition spree, or whether it is in terms of e-commerce, whether it is in terms of healthcare or medtech companies, we are seeing acquisition in almost all major tech spaces. And when I say tech spaces, I'm talking more about the tech consumer space, not only deep tech or software company, because that is where they are continuing as they were pre-COVID days. But the deep, the tech consumer tech companies where we see a lot of activity. Now, having said that, what we are also seeing is several indirect acquisition, and that is where I'm seeing it in tech space in terms of, you know, standard tech space like software services company, hardware company, payment technology companies, etc. And indirect acquisition means US-based acquisition which has deep underlying or very important subsidiaries in India. So those kind of acquisition also are on rise, where we call it indirect acquisition because India is still a major part of the company which is being sold. And a lot of time getting Indian operation is the reason why people are buying. And that is because they want to kind of reduce some of the cost by leveraging the operations. So that is the other kind of acquisition we are seeing on the rise. That is what I would call trying to use. The first one I was trying to say was growth in India for Indian market. The second is growth for Indian talent. And the third kind of acquisition which we are seeing, which is where people are realigning their operation. You know, COVID has affected industries very differently. Tech industry is growing at a frantic pace. There are adjacent to tech industries, right, who are trying to see how they can digitalize faster. And then they are acquiring capabilities which they did not have so that they can not just survive, but thrive in a post-pandemic economic situation. And then there are some of the traditional industry where the COVID pandemic has affected badly. And as a result, they are now trying to survive by hiving off some of the assets which were possibly not required, or maybe, you know, that can help them to pass on the bad economic times till things kind of turn over. So those kind of sell-offs, what we are seeing also, but the number of those kind of sell-offs are much lesser compared to the first two categories, where they are primarily for growth or trying to get new capabilities, either focusing on Indian market or Indian talent.
Yeah. And so for us, I think what you've said sort of hits the nail on the head. As I look at some of Emphasis's peers, I also see something very similar, which is a focus on growth, because it's been a tremendous growth moment for IT solutions services companies, and with a focus on capabilities, right? And so for us at Emphasis, in the last 12 months, we've done two acquisitions focused on capabilities. The first in the UK, so a cross-border acquisition, if you will, though we have a presence in the UK already, and then one in the US. The one thing I'm reminded of a little bit, I think it's, or the quote that's apropos here, right, is what Winston Churchill said, which is sort of never let a good crisis go to waste. And I think we're seeing a bit of that in what's going on for those companies that are having growth. I think for the companies, again, to name a few, what I observe, say, in the transportation space where things have not been, although I think it's turning around now, have not been as good for them in terms of the market, say 12 months ago or so, or 18 months ago, those companies took this time to, you know, accelerate their plans to move, to become more digital, to get off legacy and do those sorts of things. So I think what that's done is created an imperative for companies like Emphasis to say, we've got to make appropriate strategic capabilities acquisitions in various arenas, whether it's, you know, cloud, cognitive, for us in one instance, design and data. But I think that's key to what's going on. It's really sort of, if you will, again, I don't want to overuse the cliches, but it's a bit of a Y2K moment and has been now for, say, 18 months for, in particular, the technology space, right?
Yeah. Eric, I believe one other reason why we are seeing kind of a rebounding of M&As, maybe because stock markets are very high. So a lot more currency available either in cash or in stock. People are raising money, you know, companies are going IPO. So suddenly there is a lot of money. And more importantly, in US specifically, we are seeing interesting emergence or re-emergence of SPACs. Right. And that has been another driver for M&A because, you know, there are companies which has raised money and now they have money and their whole objective is to go and acquire a business. So I would want to pick your brain on what do you think on PAC and, you know, other availabilities of liquidity and how that is going to affect the M&A or how it's already affecting an M&A.
Well, there's no doubt you raise a good point, which I think there was a lot of money sitting on the sidelines, right? And whatever you call it, dry powder. And so I think there's been, you know, a push. And so to put those dollars to use or rupees to use. And so we're seeing a lot of that now. You know, I think as far as the SPAC base is concerned, it's a, you know, it's a great alternative. And, you know, last year, 2 years, or even before the pandemic was really getting a lot of traction. I think it's, and by the way, it's a fantastic alternative way to get to the public market, right? As opposed to going through the IPO process. So it has tremendous benefit. I'd say that being said, what I've seen and what we've seen here in the US recently is, you know, our SEC chairman, Gary Gensler, has taken some particular interest in SPACs. And what I guess perhaps a view is that there's a lack of oversight in certain areas in SPACs and whether, say, dilution issues, conflict issues that exist, and then perhaps some liability issues are something that the SEC is going to look at. I think I have a question about whether or to what extent there may be some oversight or some rules put into place. I think time will tell on SPACs, whether there are changes. I think we're probably looking at soonest spring of 22 or beyond for that to come out. I'm sure there'll be comment periods and the like, but I think in short, absolutely, there's no doubt that the SPAC creates a different kind of vehicle. I guess the other thing I think about, and we've used at Emphasis, is that also the joint venture as an alternative to M&A and sort of a private-public partnership. We've done one with the University of Calgary, but I guess I'd ask you what your views are as well on SPAC and what you're thinking and seeing, and then in terms of JVs and others, which again can be good ways to take a little more conservative approach to acquisition rather than jumping in with both feet, right?
Absolutely. No, unfortunately, Indian rules currently don't really make Indian SPAC possible, which means that, you know, in India, you cannot just go and raise a SPAC company, take public money from India, list it in Indian stock market, and then go and acquire. That's something which is not possible. But we do see there is a scope for cross-border SPAC where Indian companies can get acquired by US SPACs. And there, interestingly, we did the very first SPAC in India for Renew Power, which got listed on for $1 billion valuation. What we realized is that even cross-border SPAC, which is Indian company getting acquired by US companies, has very interesting regulatory repercussions in India and has this restriction, which doesn't make it very easy, but it is still possible in certain situations to do it in a manner in which the US community or financial community is used to seeing how SPAC work. So we believe that there will be a lot of interest, and we already seeing a lot of interest in SPAC in acquiring Indian companies. But not all companies will be in a position to kind of offer themselves for SPAC. There'll be some companies which will be in a position to actually do it. Because there are two kinds of issues we find in. One is tax issue, another is cross-border Foreign Exchange Management Act issue, right? That's something which comes up. But because of this, both these regulations and restrictions, there are certain level of companies, a certain set of companies who will be more keen or more favorable from US spec perspective. We are doing number two and number three spec also in India. So we do believe that spec has something to offer for India, but maybe nothing at the level which we are seeing in the US.
Yeah, absolutely understood. That's great insight. And I wasn't aware that you did the first SPAC in India. So congratulations on that. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And when we come back in our next episode, we will look at what lies ahead for M&A.
So do join us. Send us your questions. We'd love to hear from you. What are you working on? As long as it's legal for you to share. Are there any ESG implications and impact that you're working on? We'd love to know about that. Send us your questions, recommendations, your views.
Our email address and social media handles are in the podcast description below. Please do like, follow, and share on all channels, and we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks.